Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
Welcome back to the Athletic Baseball Show for Thursday, September 21st. This is On Deck. I'm Stephen Nesbitt, and I'm joined by Levi Weaver. Levi, I'm feeling a little bit rough this today because I didn't get my typical 13 or 14 hours of sleep. Yeah, like you say, Kikuchi likes to get. Did you see this? He cramped up in his start, and he told Caitlin McGrath, our Blue Jays writer, maybe because he only got 11 hours. Boy, howdy, what I would do for 11 hours of sleep these days with two toddlers. But anyway, how are you feeling?
I cannot say while there is a recording happening the things that I would do to get 11 hours of sleep. That would be amazing. But otherwise, yeah, good week. We got a lot of playoff chases lined up for the next 10 days, 10 plus days. It's still exciting. And that's lovely because it's no fun when it gets to the end of the season and we already know everything with 2 weeks left to go. So it's not just one. We've got the AL West, we've got the AL wild card, and we've got the NL wild card. All of which are completely still up in the air. I'm happy about it. Let's talk some baseball today. Look, I didn't even come up with anything weird. I'm legitimately excited about baseball. This is great. Look at me.
Yeah, I don't like
being
it.
Authentic.
It gives me the willies. We're going to get into some of the American League wildcard race later today with our favorite series of the weekend. But we're going to start with a team that currently sits, let me count, 9th in the wild card race, currently right behind the Detroit Tigers, the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. We're going to start with the Angels because Shohei Ohtani is officially done for the year. This came out on Tuesday. He had surgery. He had a surgery on his arm.
A surgery.
His right arm, we think, on Tuesday morning. And the Angels released a statement. That was a statement from his agent, Nez Bolella, who shares a nickname with me, except it's his real name, Nez. Here's the full statement from the Angels. Here's the Angels portion. Good afternoon, all. Please see the statement below from Shohei Ohtani's agent, Nez Bolella. So, and then that's the end of their statement. So here's Nez Bolella's statement. Shohei had his procedure this morning at Curlin and Job Orthopedic Clinic in Los Angeles. The final decision and type of procedure, not specifying what, was made with a heavy emphasis on the big picture. I wouldn't want them to go small. I don't mean to interject you. I wanted them to focus the big picture the whole time. So
surgery that's going to be like he'll feel the best he can possibly feel tomorrow, and after that his career is over.
The goal was to have him feeling good for Christmas. That was what we wrote down on a piece of paper. Okay, back to it. Shohei wanted to make sure this is the direction taken gave him every opportunity to hit and pitch for many years to come. La la la, quote from Neil Elatrosh, the doctor who performed the surgery. Shohei is resting and in good spirits and excited to be on the road to recovery. So we had Shohei also coming out publicly and giving a statement on the situation, which is the same thing. I had a procedure done on my elbow this morning and everything went well. Thank you very much for everyone's prayers and kind words. It was very unfortunate that I couldn't finish out the year on the field, but I'll be rooting on the boys until the end. La 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 la, go Halos. So the bottom line is we don't know what happened to Shohei's elbow. There are times where you go into a elbow surgery for a likely Tommy John, and they don't actually know it needs to get done until they get in there. They don't know quite the damage because you can see something on an MRI. But when you get in, sometimes they realize the extent of the damage. So they've explained a little bit in the past about where the damage was, the extent of it, how it was different from last time when he did have Tommy John. But we really don't learn anything except that he had surgery and he's planning to play as a hitter next season and pitch and hit the following season.
Yeah, I've given the Angels a lot of grief over my time in this business for just, it's the Angels and the Mets that just cannot be normal for 5 whole minutes. I would not take the Angels or the Mets to a party with me and expect that they would not embarrass me by doing like just something. They would do something and it would get back to me. And this year's been no different with the Angels. It's just been a never-ending cavalcade of being gobsmacked at whatever decision that they've made. I love Shohei Ohtani. I love the player. The sport is better with him. The game is better with him in it. But he's got that Angels weird stink on him now, I think. Because I cannot figure out. I've tried to give him and his agent and everyone involved. I've tried to give everyone the benefit of the doubt here. It's not a big deal. It doesn't affect me what surgery he had done. Like, it's not going to affect my Christmas plans. It's just weird. And I cannot understand the reason why. Yes, he's coming up in free agency. He will be a free agent. So any team that wants to sign him is going to get a very close look with a magnifying glass at those medicals. So you're not, it's not impacting his free agency at all, as far as we know. So then why are we, I mean, is it just that he wants to stay, like wants it to stay private, like doesn't want the public to know? And if that's it, okay, it's weird, but sure, I can't figure it out. My conspiracy theory is that the Angels don't know what kind of surgery he had.
Honestly, I don't know if that's that much of a conspiracy. So right now, I can't imagine the Angels are actually looped in that much on what's happening with this guy. Because everything that happens beyond October 2nd or whatever the last day of the season is
right, it becomes
is
none of their business.
I think everything went out of their hands the minute he got injured with an arm injury. Everything was up to Team Ohtani, which very clearly wanted to keep a tight lid on this. And I'm not sure exactly why, but I was thinking it was up until the diagnosis they'd want to keep a tight lid on it. And then once they decide what surgery to have, which again, sometimes can happen in surgery, then they would say, all right, here's the deal. Here's the plan. He's going to be healthy. Give him $1 zillion. But clearly they're trying to take this past the finish line here. They want this to be a secret. I don't really know what the reason is for this, because you're right. The signing teams will figure out what happened here, whether it has a name or not. And if we want to read between the lines, I think we know what happened. I don't think they did a full Tommy John where they had to go get a new ligament from either his wrist or his, you know, thigh. And it seems like they were able to repair the damage done in the UCL and then fortify the area where the internal brace procedure. That's my guess, kind of an educated guess. There's no reason to keep that a secret, I don't think. I mean, the internal brace typically carries a shorter return time than Tommy John, the full reconstruction repair. And so they did a revision of some sort, Dr. Nez, MD, and they did an internal brace, is what I'm guessing happened. He's hoping he hit like normal next season. And so I think that's all very doable, but I just don't know why we have to do it like this, cloak and dagger.
How long was Bryce Harper's return from Tommy John?
I think it was 6 months. He had the surgery after the World Series, and he came back in May, start of May.
Okay, so hear me out. The only indication we have that Shohei Ohtani is going to be ready for opening day is a statement by his agent. Right? So agents are always going to say that the most optimistic thing is going to happen. I know this because I've sat through so many pun-filled Scott Boras pressers at the winter meetings.
Can I interject? Did he say opening day? He didn't in this one. Was it a previous one?
Did he not?
I don't think so.
Did I miss that? Then maybe I missed that.
Yes, the doctor did. Neil Eletrosh said, I expect full recovery and he'll be ready to hit without any restrictions come opening day of 2024.
Okay, that's my mistake because I thought it came from the agent. If it came from the doctor, that's probably a little bit more objective. Because what I'm looking at is it's, you know, mid-September, mid to late September, October, November, December, January, February, March. That's ahead of opening day. So it's possible that he could have gotten Tommy John surgery. Again, we just don't know. And it's weird that we don't know. And it really doesn't matter that we don't know because, you know, like, I say we, like, it does affect the ability of the media to do their job for projections and for like, what, you know, when can anybody expect Ohtani to be back? Like it is sort of our job to be able to project these things. But for the average fan, like it's not a huge deal.
It feels like if this happened a year ago, or let's just say 2 years ago, and he needed to have another Tommy John, they would have just told us. So it has something to do with him going on the open market soon. I just don't know how exactly that's an advantage because I don't think they can keep it from teams forever and who cares. So we'll move along to what's actually happening the rest of the season. But the final tally on Otani's almost certain to be second MVP season, 304 batting average, 412 on base, 654 major league leading slugging, 1.066 OPS, 44 homers, 95 ribbies, 20 steals because why not, and a 314 ERA in 23 starts across 132 innings. So his last AB, the last AB, you probably remember it, last AB of the Otani Angels era, September 3rd in front of 12,425 in Oakland. Yes, I looked this up. Came to the plate against a man named Kirby Snead in the ninth inning with a runner on first base. He struck out on four pitches. The Angels lost 10-6. And now the segment fades to black.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Okay, it is time to talk about the upcoming games of the weekend. We're going to talk about a couple series, and at this point we are only, not that this has been any different throughout the rest of the season, but we are only talking about games that super duper matter. So sorry, White Sox, Red Sox, that's not going to come up. Tigers, Athletics, you can probably find that somewhere, I'm sure. We are going to talk instead about teams that are going, or at least trying to go, to the playoffs. Steven, who do you have for this weekend?
Well, let me tee up this wild card discussion with Toronto at Tampa Bay. See, the wild card race, as of recording, it is 2:16 Wednesday afternoon. Game still to happen tonight before you hear this. Eastern time. Yeah, thank you. Eastern bias over here. The wild card race in the American League is effectively two of three teams are going to make it. Tampa Bay's already clinched a spot. There's Toronto, who's a game ahead of Seattle and Texas. So the tiebreakers are where this gets wild, because we could have some wildness entering the last few days of the season. The Mariners are 1-5 against Texas, so they have a lot of ground to make up. However, they still have seven games left, so they could theoretically get hot. Although if they get hot, I don't think they actually tie, so whatever. Mariners are tied with the Blue Jays, but have a better intra-division AL record, so they have the tiebreaker win over the Blue Jays. And the Rangers have the tiebreaker over Toronto. So really, it seems like the Blue Jays are kind of in the worst spot here. They just need to win ball games then and not get stuck in any tiebreakers, because I'd love a situation where all three of them end up, you know, tied in the last day of the season.
They're also the only one of those three teams with a winning record in September.
True. They're the only good team here right now. So I will start with Toronto. They have won four games in a row. They have a couple more against the Yankees coming up. They are in the second wildcard spot. Like I said, one game out of that third spot, and also one game out of the first team out spot. Vlad Guerrero Jr. is heating up lately. Three homers in the last week. To get him back into good shape is so huge for this team, because they have the rotation, they have lineup depth with everyone healthy, and they have a bullpen that can give you exactly what you need in October. So the Blue Jays, I think, are in a good spot. They just need to get into the dance. And they're facing a Rays team that, while having already clinched, they are only 2.5 back of Baltimore for the wild card bye. And so that first place is huge in the AL East. The Rays have two more games here against the Angels before they kick off this next series against the Blue Jays. Meanwhile, the Orioles face Cleveland for four this week. So Cleveland's not a good team. They're not horrible, but they're not really in the thick of things anymore. The way the Rays are rolling now, they're doing all this without Wander Franco, so it's impressive that they stuck with it this long. They have Yandy Diaz and Randy Arozarena really leading the way lately. They are a team that, once again, a great bullpen that can do damage. They have what's left of the rotation is healthy and spinning the ball pretty well, and they have a lineup that can get hot in October. So this is going to be a good one to watch, but really important still for both of these teams, for one of them to stay in the wild card race and for the other one to try to catch up to Baltimore and get first place or in the division. So the probables here in this one, Tyler Glasnow against Chris Bassett. That's a great one. Zach Littell against Hyunjin Ryu and Taj Bradley against Yusei Kikuchi. He's just got to get his sleep, man.
I was not going to do another Rangers series for the rest of the year, but Steven has assigned me Rangers and Mariners because that's the story, right? There's seven games left between these two teams. They are certainly just in a dogfight with each other, and they're going to get to do it directly head-to-head, which you don't get to see that often. It's usually scoreboard watching this time of year. The schedule makers really did us a solid here and let these two teams fight it out head-to-head. Here's what the Mariners have done so far in September. 1-2 versus the Mets. 1-2 versus the Reds. 1-3 against the Rays. All three of those were on the road. Then they come home. 2-1 against the Angels. All right. Get swept by the Dodgers. And they are currently up 2-0 at Oakland. I don't mean the game is 2-0. I mean they've won two games. They have one game left, which you will know the results of by the time you hear this podcast. That's a 7-11 record in September. That's hardly breaking down the door into the postseason. But the Rangers, 1-2 at home against the Twins. 0-3 against the Astros, got absolutely embarrassed against the Astros, blown out all three games. They went 2-1 against the Athletics, which you would hope they would do. Went to Toronto, swept the Blue Jays in a four-game series, and you think, all right, they're back, baby. Then no, they were not. 0-3 in Cleveland against the Guardians. And currently, they are 1-1 one loss against the Red Sox. That game just started while we were recording, and by the way, John Gray just gave up a three-run home run. So it's two teams with a great opportunity, neither of whom seem to be really taking advantage of it. Oh, by the way, not only is this the wild card race, this is also the race for the AL West because the Astros are 7-10 plus Wednesday in September. They are up by, what is it, a half a game right now is in the standings. So the intrigue is amazing. I love it when baseball matters this much. The Mariners, I think if we want to oversimplify, the Mariners hitting, aside from Julio Rodriguez, has not been great. Over the last 2 weeks, they have precisely two hitters with an OPS over 900. That is Luis Torrens, who has a 1,200 OPS in five plate appearances, and Jose Caballero, 958 in nine plate appearances. Their best hitter with any number of normal plate appearances is Julio with an 813 OPS. Sam Haggerty at 800 is the only other guy in the last 2 weeks who's been even remotely hot. But their pitching is good. The rotation, you know, Wu, Castillo, Miller, Kirby, Gilbert, that's a really good rotation. The Rangers, on the other hand, so we've got the Mariners with great pitching, hitting. The Rangers, their lineup is back to full strength, right? Josh Young's back. Adolis Garcia's back. Jonah Heim is healthy again. He's hitting home runs again. Corey Seager has hit well enough that some people forgot Shohei Ohtani. Want to talk about him for the MVP. He's not the MVP. He's had a very, very good season. Great lineup, but it's very streaky, and their pitching is very shaky. So that's what we're up against. We got one team with a great offense, one team with very good pitching, maybe even great pitching, and those two are going to face off, and we'll see what happens. And we'll probably preview this exact same series again next week.
Yeah, if you see repeats, it's because they matter, okay? It's all we care about here. Stakes, baby. Stakes. All right, Levi, you know what time it is. It's time for us to step into the on-deck arcade and play our weekend game, which is the arms race. If you haven't been tuning in, where have you been? Every weekend, we each pick one starting pitcher. We put them head-to-head, and we pick their game score 2.0, posted on Fangraphs.com, which is a combination of batters faced. I guess outs recorded, hits, runs, earned runs, homers, walks, strikeouts, and I think that might be it. And it's all put into a formula, and the magic spits out a number, and that's the one we go with. So currently, Levi's up 14-5 in the season series, and so we're playing out the string. And I think you've already tipped your hand as to who you're picking.
No, I haven't.
No.
No, I haven't.
Oh, I thought this was Kyle Bradish right here.
Yeah, that's what you thought. Here's the problem. I was looking at the teams that I had not selected in the Homer Chase, which I had not yet picked anyone from Baltimore in the Homer Chase. I have, however, picked Kyle Bradish already against the Rockies. And so I had written down John Means. I was super excited to go with John Means. That's not going to happen. So I'm scrambling here for a pick, but I think I got it. I got one. You go first. I'll let you know who I come
up with. Okay. Well, you promised we wouldn't talk about the Tigers and A's, and so I think I might have to go right there. There are a couple options I like here, but as far as Tigers A's, there are three I could pick. They're all going to be winners. You know, I'm a Tigers fan at heart, and they have Eduardo Rodriguez going, Reese Olsen, and Tarek Skubal. And I think I'm going to go with the safest play because Erod is supposed to go Sunday, and it's already happened to me before. I've gotten burned by a guy not actually going this far in the future. So I'm going to go with Tarek Skubal. He's been fantastic lately. His last three starts, I think, have been like 65 to 75. Game score 2.0. I almost just invented 3.0. And so I'm going to roll with Tarek Skubal.
Wait, which day is he pitching?
I think it's Friday.
Oh, we have accidentally stumbled on a head-to-head, baby, because I have not picked an Oakland Athletic all year.
Why are you picking an A?
Because Ken Waldichuk has been pretty good lately, and also because I have a massive lead, and I literally cannot lose this for the season. So I'm taking...
This is humiliating.
I've been a Ken Waldichuk stan since he was a Yankees prospect. I wrote an article suggesting that the Rangers should try to acquire him because he matched the profile of the starting pitchers that they should need to acquire. They didn't. He went to the A's. He's been, you know, a little shaky here and there, but he's been pretty good lately. So do you hear my voice crack? That's how excited I am to finally get to pick Ken Waldichuk. And we're going head to head. I love it. We will find out on Friday who wins.
It is indeed a head-to-head. I'm glad I didn't pick Reese Olsen because he actually starts against the Dodgers on Thursday. I don't want that. So, yeah, I like this. Let's go head-to-head and see what happens. I'm trying to figure out what happened here. I'm looking at Waldichuk's Fangraphs page, and he doesn't have game score 2.0 for the last two games, but we'll figure it out. We can still calculate it, even if it doesn't.
Can we? I can't.
Show up on the page. I think so. I'll build the formula out in Excel and figure out what to do here.
I'm going to have to learn because if they don't post it, I know exactly what's going to happen. He's going to get dinged a couple of points so you win. So I'm going to have some kind of a foolproof. I'm sorry for suggesting that you don't have any integrity. I know you do.
Thank you for assuming I actually have some. Shady Steven. Time for us to go. We're going to hit the exits here. Thanks for listening. Thanks to producer Brian for taking care of today's episode. You can find our work all week long at theathletic.com. Subscribe to The Athletic during our extended summer sale for $1 per month for the first year at theathletic.com/baseball show. Sign up for The Windup, The Athletic's daily baseball newsletter with Levi and Ken Rosenthal for absolutely free. Levi stays up very late at night to do this for you. Please sign up. Coming up next in your feed, The 3-0 Show. This is Eno and Britt. And for now, no DVR, but he'll be back soon. Give us a follow on Twitter. Levi is at 32EFIS and I'm at Stephen J. Nesbitt. We'll be back on Monday with more of What's on Deck.
I'm going to go commit crimes and sleep for 11 hours. See you later.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.